Hello and happy Wednesday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm glad that you joined us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have questions? Well, we want to try to answer them. You can send us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let me tell you what the questions are today. These are interesting. Are you anxious about salvation? You ever felt that? Anxiety about your salvation? And also, another question we're going to tackle is, what are the consequences of attending a works salvation church? Let's send it over to Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar for today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name's Sean. Thank you for listening. And I'm here with...
I'm Bob. Hi.
And we are taking your questions. I think we'll be starting a series soon. But for now, we're going to take some questions. A lot of people, I got to tell you, I'm looking at this stack of papers, and a lot of them are about, am I going to go to heaven? Or what would happen if this happened? Or what would happen if that happened? Could I lose my salvation here? Or what would happen there? What that tells me is there's a lot of people who are anxious about salvation. They're confused and they want answers. I was just listening to a worker from a Campus Crusade for Christ here in North Texas, and she was telling a story. It was supposed to be a success story of a girl who had been going to Christian school her whole life, but she just wasn't sure about Jesus. This is how she framed the story. The girl just wasn't sure if she should make a decision to give her life to Christ and to follow Christ. And so this whole story, and it was supposed to be an evangelism story. She's working on this girl, and she's hanging out with her, and then she said, finally, I talked to this girl, and she said, are you ready to make a decision for Christ? And she's like, I think I am ready to make a decision to follow the Lord. And she's like, well, why don't you say this prayer with me? And so they say the sinner's prayer.
Right.
And they say, yeah, you say the prayer in your own words. And now go tell someone that you've made this decision to follow the Lord. The lady finished her presentation and everyone in the church clapped. And I was like, I don't know. I did not clap. I thought that was a bad story because here's a girl that has just been thrown back on her own resources.
Right.
Basically, she wasn't sure that she's saved, and now she's going to make a decision to follow the Lord, which to me is another way of saying I've made a decision now to try to earn my salvation by works or try to get certainty by works. There was no mention of believing. There was no mention of Jesus giving her eternal life. It was all focused on the girl making a decision to behave a certain way and had nothing to do with the promise of eternal life. But this was supposed to be a success story in this evangelism.
Yeah, see, that's sad. Now, I worked with Campus Crusade for Christ in college campus ministry for 4 years, 42 years ago. You know, what I found then, and I'm sure it's still true now, is there's a lot of diversity in the way that staff members evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
You have some people who are coming from a free grace perspective, like I was back then, even though I didn't know all the issues. But then you had other people who were coming from a more lordship salvation perspective, which it sounds like this person is, although this isn't even a clear lordship salvation. It's kind of a wishy-washy, vague, give your life to Christ,
right,
decide to follow him,
right,
not even clear that what does she need to do. And so there's a lot of ambiguity within Campus Crusade for Christ, just like there is in Protestantism, in Orthodoxy, in Catholicism.
Oh, absolutely.
And so the truth is, you cannot assume, because you're talking to a person from a particular group, that they necessarily believe in work salvation or lordship salvation or the free grace message. That may well be the case, but that doesn't even tell you what they've always believed. That's another thing. So,
right,
in answer generally to all the questions we're going to be looking at where people doubt their salvation or people don't know what they need to do, here's a simple answer. You're going to doubt your salvation if you look at yourself, so stop looking at yourself. And
yeah,
if you want assurance, look to Christ. And don't look to Christ in terms of, am I being good enough to please him?
Yeah.
Look to Christ who promised, he who believes in me has everlasting life. It's really that simple. That gal with Campus Crusade for Christ should have said something like, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And if she said yes, then she should say, well, notice what this verse says. He who believes in me has everlasting life. Is that true? And the girl probably would have said, I don't see how that can be true. But those are the words of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And she'd have to say, well, yeah, they must be true, but there must be another way to explain it, because if that were true, all you'd have to do is believe in him and you'd have everlasting life.
Right.
Right. And so ultimately you get the person to say, you know, really, you need to come to grips with what Jesus is saying is either true or false. If it's true, then the only condition is believing in him. No works, no following him, no obeying him. Those things are things we should do. But the truth is, we don't do those things to gain everlasting life. And if we look to our works for assurance, we won't have it.
Right. Now, if she had been giving a discipleship message, like here is an uncommitted Christian who just wasn't sure if she should live for Jesus, and she really needed to make a decision to obey the Lord and to follow the Lord. That is true. You do need to make a decision to obey.
Sure.
And if it had been a discipleship message, I would have been like, all right, good for you. You got a girl who's been in Christian school her whole life to finally live out her faith. That's a good thing. But that's not what it was. It was an evangelism thing. And now I can just imagine this poor college girl. She's going to try to doing her best to obey Jesus. And guess what? She'll have some success, but she's going to sin every day, and it's going to give her no assurance, and she's still not going to know what she needs to do to be born again, which is to believe in Jesus.
And she's going to go out and spread the message that she just heard.
And that's what the campus person said. Go tell someone that you've made a decision to follow Jesus. Here's good news, guys. If you are willing to make a decision to follow Jesus, you maybe could be saved too, but I'm not really sure, and neither can you be.
Yeah.
So, given that, here's a question from John. He asks, if someone was raised in a works-based religion, but then becomes a born-again believer in Christ alone, but continues in the works-based religion in order just to keep peace in his family, what are the consequences of that in the afterlife? So let's say, I guess you become a believer, but you kind of just stay within your Lordship or Work Salvation Church in order to keep peace. What are the consequences of that in the afterlife? Do you think that kind of reminds me of being a secret believer?
It does. The question in my mind is whether that person could rule with Christ in the life to come. If this person is not openly confessing Christ in a church that clearly proclaims the word of God, but they're in some kind of work salvation group, then I don't see how they're going to rule in the life to come. Now,
well, okay, how about this?
All right.
Could someone attending John MacArthur's church, are they all going to be barred from ruling with Christ because it's a work salvation
church? Okay, that's a little bit different. It's tricky because John MacArthur absolutely rejects, at least formally, work salvation. He says salvation is not of works. It's by grace through faith apart from works. But then he will define faith as including submission to Christ, a right. yieldedness to Christ, a decision to follow Christ, that sort of thing. And it will necessarily result in a lifetime of perseverance and obedience. So it's a confusing sort of thing. But is he confessing Christ? Are people in his church confessing Christ? So I'd say two things. Number one, I'm somewhat of an agnostic on the question of whether such a person could rule with Christ to some degree, even though they're proclaiming a false message. They're not coming right out and denying justification by faith alone, even
well,
though...
Well, I'm thinking especially if someone in MacArthur's church, because you ruling with Christ doesn't depend on what your pastor's teaching.
Now, on that question,
you
I think
what I'm saying?
Absolutely people in his church could rule with Christ, because you could be a person in his church who doesn't agree with
right.
his view of the saving message, but you find his views on other things very helpful.
Right.
And so as a result, sure, you could rule with Christ.
So I think that's what John is asking. To me, it's like, so long as you are clear and you're saying, well, listen, guys, it's by faith alone. So long as you're not compromising and sharing this false gospel.
I think that's true to a degree, but it depends how extreme the church is and how much you have to suppress your own views
right.
in order to keep peace in that church.
Mm.
A friend of mine, Frank Tyler, led a Mormon missionary to faith in Christ. And the man left his mission and went back to Salt Lake City. And he told Frank he was going to stay in the Mormon church because of all his family and friends and the connections. But he knew for sure he had eternal life by faith alone, apart from works. I would say such a person, unless he matures to the point where he leaves, is not going to rule with Christ, because although he has come to faith and he has come to believe in the free gift of everlasting life,
and he has eternal life, he's born again, he's eternally secure.
But he's in a cult. He's not saying this is a cult. He's not denying the teachings of that group. In fact, he's giving every indication he agrees. So, to me, it would be very problematic. Yeah. And when you had somebody that was in a church where they believe in this five-point plan, believe, obey, confess, repent, be baptized. If you were in that group and you believed it was simply by faith, but you were in there because of your family and friends, it'd be one thing if you were trying to evangelize the other people. It'd be another thing if you were giving every impression that you agreed.
Right.
And outside of it, you weren't really sharing your faith either. So that's a tough question, and I would say I'm somewhat of an agnostic, but I tend to agree with you, Sean. In most Protestant denominations and churches, as long as you're not compromising,
right,
if you happen to be going to a church that is Lordship Salvation or even mildly work salvation, if you're not compromising and you're rejecting the things you hear, and if people ask you, you're clear, I don't agree with that. And outside of the church, of course, you're open to telling people about your faith in Christ and that it's by faith alone. Well, then, yeah, you could rule with Christ. But, you know, after a while, one bad apple spoils the whole barrel. Mm-hmm. If you're going to church and almost everybody in the church believes in Lordship Salvation, over time, it seems you're going to move.
Right.
So I just think it's very dangerous to be playing games with where you go to church.
Well, thank you for your question, John, and I hope that helps you. I mean, we want to encourage people to stay faithful to Christ, to not be secret believers, but to be open believers who are openly confessing Christ and openly sharing this message, because many in Christendom are confused. And if you know the truth and you're clear on grace and you keep quiet about it, that confusion is going to remain in your local church and in the world at large. So be an open believer, openly confess Christ, and when you openly confess Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, he will openly confess you.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to discuss how the will connects to belief, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.